Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody panic!
Why?
Sell! Buy! I don't know what's going on. The good news is, when you don't have a lot of money to start with, you don't have a lot of money to lose. Anyway.
In this economy? I feel like that's an evergreen thing to say.
In this economy?
In this economy?
Yeah. Well, in this economy, we need to speak regularly with our financial expert, Dave Simons, partner and managing director at One Private Wealth. Dave, thank you for joining us in this economy.
Well, thank you for having me, as always, as I call you remotely from the warm and humid confines of Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, why are you there?
Well, wow, in unison. That was in stereo.
We do it all the time. It's what happens when you live together with somebody for a long time, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We don't live together.
We don't live together.
No, we don't live together. I just really wanted to throw everybody
Hancock
off, and it worked.
Hancock and Kelly, on the other hand.
Yeah, Michael and John, they live together.
They do.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dave, why are you there?
I'm down here for a little business, but let me tell you something. This is really fascinating because I've been coming down to this area for many years and have just been amazed at the unbelievable amount of construction. And we all know the news that, you know, Texas in general and DFW area in particular, one of the fastest growing areas. And I've witnessed it. But this time I'm down here and it has come to a complete stop.
Really?
And I'm in a neighborhood where I've seen all these for sale signs. So I asked somebody, one of the trustees here, and I said, how many homes are for sale here versus how many homes that are in this big complex? And he said, well, we've got 1,100 homes. So it's pretty big size place, community. 100 are for sale out of 1,100. You don't need to be a math major to know that's about one out of every 9 or 10 have a for sale sign here. And I'm thinking, wow, that's crazy. What happened? And it's a confluence of things that I don't need to bore everybody with. But other in general, it's just way overbuilding for the massive influx of people moving down here. And they still are. There's still net amount of people moving down here. But it got a little overdone. And then with all the fear, you talk about the economy. That has caused a lot of people to sit on the sidelines and go, well, maybe we'll wait to kind of see how all this tariff thing plays out and how the economy plays out, where interest rates are. I need to tell you, too, though, in comparison, back home in St. Louis, that's not happened. It's still a pretty good hot seller's market.
What is it about? Because I'm just reading about that yesterday, that wealthy investors have sort of been, like you said, on the sidelines, just seeing how things go. Why does that happen, that people who have the resources, they do sort of sit back and just see how things go, while everybody else who tries to get by, needs to get by, is sort of spending money? If that makes sense, it's like the people who have money don't. Is that why they have it?
Chris?
Because they're so careful? Well,
Chris, you just hit on a really interesting point, and that's one of the more fascinating things that I love about this business is the psychological and emotional component. And it's one of the things that really drew me to it. But here's one thing interesting. It took me many years to kind of finally go, wow, I think I know what happens here. The more money that people get, and you make your first 10,000, then you've got 100,000. And then for people who are fortunate and they get into the seven figures, many of them actually get a little tighter with their money, where I just made my first 100,000 and I'm going to take this big expensive vacation to Europe and I'm going to spend $15,000 or $20,000 because they've never seen that kind of money. Though years later, they might have 5 million, like, can we really afford that trip to the Grand Canyon? Let me think about this. Like, are you kidding me? But that's what served them well. And Chris, to what you just mentioned, it's one of the reasons why they've acquired that much money is it just starts to pile up. It's my job to then start thinking about really big life issues. Like, what does this money mean to you? Every dollar has a purpose. What about some kind of foundation, some kind of a charitable giving? Do you want to really die with $20 million? That's a growing part of my business as people get wealthier.
When you start working with people, and I guess, like, you know, everyone has their own specialty in the different demographics or tax brackets that you're working with. But do you ever find there are people who feel, I've waited too long to start saving, you know, I'm too old, it doesn't matter anymore, and almost like they're not saving because they feel like it's too late or it's not going to make a difference at this time?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Amy. That is a problem, and it's something that, I'll put it this way. I don't know that there's one person, let's say, who's older and retired, who says, you know, I did everything right. I started investing at the right age, and I did the right. Everybody has regrets. And if I had to compartmentalize this, I would say that the number one regret is probably I didn't start soon enough. Even people who are very successful later in life and amassed a pretty good amount of net worth will say, no, I didn't. I started too late. But I get it, man. If you know, I guess I'm like everybody else. You're just trying to get on your feet when you get out of school and you're starting your career and you're not making much. And I got married at 26, and then you start raising a family, and you get into your 30s, and you think you're kind of behind, and then you start to compare yourself, right? You're like, well, my next door neighbors, am I doing as good as them? They're my age. That's part of the problem. So let me just encourage anyone who feels like it's too late. It's never too late. It really isn't. I just encourage anyone, I don't care how old you are, to start looking into this, make it a priority, and let time be your friend, even if you feel like you've let a lot of time pass by. There is no such thing as too late to start any kind of long-term investment plan.
Do you think people don't invest the older they get if they feel like they haven't started soon enough? It's almost like, I give up. I already screwed up. So what's the point? How often do you think that happens?
Probably more than we would like to admit. I think there's one component of investing where you can say it's probably too late. And this one's an obvious one. And I've actually had this happen where somebody says, you know, I think I need to start like a 529 education plan for my kids when they go to college. Oh, how old's your kid? Oh, he just graduated from high school. Okay.
He starts tomorrow.
You might. Yes.
Starts college tomorrow.
And you might be a little too late. Okay, go ahead and still start saving something. That should have been started earlier. But I mean, really, Chris, you could be 50 years old and say, man, I just have not done a great job. I've been so focused on my work and I've not made a lot of money. And yeah, I have this little bit of 401k and you think you're never going to make it. It's just not true. Yeah, maybe you're not going to make as much as you had dreamed of in your 20s or 30s and you wish you could do things over. But if you're still going to work 10 plus years, 15, 20 years, that still is a long time to let the magic of compounding work. And it really does. It's such a back-ended concept, back-loaded concept. Here's the other thing that's connected to what we're talking about. Not only do some people feel it's too late, the reverse can happen sometimes where people invest early, but they don't see the magic of it happening right away. say, man, I've been investing for 10 years. I started when I'm 30. Now I'm 40, and I still don't have anything. And I encourage people, no, I get it. You will see the magic of compounding happen by the time you're 60. It is so back-end loaded. And I like to use the math to say, turning $100,000 into $200,000 in your 401k is the same as turning $1 million into $2 million on a percentage basis. But to even get to that million, it takes years and even decades, of course. So you just got to stay with it. And then the numbers will finally start to mean something to you way down the road. It will happen.
Dave, we continue to follow the tariff drama between Donald Trump and Xi Jinping of China. I guess my question is, when will the regular average American consumer feel the results of these conversations and tariff threats?
You know, the best guess I can give you, Amy, is probably later this summer. That's what a lot of analysts who follow this kind of thing on a daily basis are saying, because it's still, most of it is still being negotiated. Yeah, you're starting to see some incremental changes in some prices occur, but nothing across, across all industries and product lines where the average consumer is going to notice it. But if the averages, the estimates are all over the board, but let's just say it really is going to be 10% across the board, in some cases 15 to 20%. China might be a little higher. You are going to see higher prices in most goods and services. The question is, though, how much are the corporations willing to eat to hurt their own bottom line to keep prices low? That's the question. That is hard to say, because I've read some of the reports of these CEOs and CFOs in their earnings calls. Some companies, especially very low margin retail companies, don't have a lot of extra room. And they say, we have no choice. We're going to have to raise prices. Others that have some wiggle room say, I think we could eat some of these prices and maybe we don't see it. Amy, it still really is an unknown. But in answer to the question, I don't think we'll see anything right away. We're probably going to look at later this summer before we can really answer that.
Well, how much more challenging is it to approach that if you have investors, if you have, you're on the stock exchange? I mean, you've got people who have put money into you and they want a return. So you have to be looking at them.
All the time. And that's exactly right, Chris. That, you know, as I like to say, I'm in my fourth decade of doing this, and I've been through some really horrific bear markets, some really great bull markets. I've never seen anything like this. The volatility, what we witnessed in April, by the way, is historic. It was the fastest drop and quickest rebound to previous highs that we've ever seen in the long history of the U.S. stock market. How in the world do you manage through that? What is the advice that I give to individual investors to say, oh, yeah, good luck with that. You have no idea. All it takes is the president to tweet this or say this and boom. Market goes off in one direction. Well, really, you don't do anything. The old saying is, don't just do something, sit there. And that's kind of what we've had to do here. And you know what? We've made money. We're up year to date. Yeah, I would never have believed that if somebody said, this is everything that's going to happen. And look at the market. I'm like, oh my gosh, how far are we down? Well, the point is the average, you know, the S&P is actually slightly up for the year now. The NASDAQ and the Dow are just slightly below. But yet investors who stuck with their plans, their reasonable diversified plans, should be up a little bit this year. I would not be making any huge changes right now. I am not overly bearish. I don't think the economy is going to crash, but I also question the ability of the market to take off to the upside, because I think we're a little overvalued. But I think we can still incrementally make some gains this year, even with higher tariffs. I'm constructively positive still.
Dave Simons, good to talk to you again. As always, we appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. As always, talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Dave Simons with his financial advice always speaks with us on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock. He is the partner and managing director at One Private Health. Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji on the Chris and Amy Show. And we have asked you the question of the week: which sports parents are the worst? I say it's baseball. So far, a lot of you have said it's baseball parents, too. Text in 314-436-7900. Leave a voice message on the Odyssey app. Click the send the message or send a message button. Or on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, if you're watching at Chris Amy KMOX, you can leave a message there, too.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did I call it One Private Health again?
Yes, you did.
There's no way.
Yes.
Did I?
Wait.
Oh, we're going to get evidence.
Let me turn off Crosby, Stills, and Nash here.
Oh, see, you turned managing director at One Private Health. Why do I keep saying that?
Because you're dumb.
I think it's a Freudian slip, Ronj. Are you doing okay?
I think so.
Your voice kind of wavered there.
Well, now I'm worried.
I'm worried.
One Private Wealth.
Wealth.
Dave Simons, who's our guest every Tuesday at 10. You know who's our guest every Tuesday at 12? Ollie Marmel. He's on the Gas House game.
Yeah.
So you want to be back for that. Amy.
As
John Hancock calls us, the gaseous gang. So
does he call you the gaseous gang?
Yeah, he started a new thing.
Oh,
I don't think I appreciate it. So anyway, yeah, there you go.
Well, we were asking our listeners, lovely listeners.
These people?
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I just got choked up thinking about our listeners. To who are the worst youth sports parents? We've gotten some good feedback.
This is from Bob.
Chris, Amy, I think soccer parents are probably worse than baseball parents because I have been both.
Okay.
That's
right.
Good. So well. my educated guess was baseball and soccer, just from my experience. And again, I know it's subjective, but baseball and soccer. And they do seem to be bubbling to the top, those two.
Well, this person has not given us a sport, but they have. I feel like this is a cry for help.
Okay.
This text message says, my husband is one of the worst fans.
Oh.
He thinks he's an expert on all sports. He says he can't help yelling at refs/umps, even yells at sports on TV.
Oh.
I think that is a your husband problem.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a baseball or a soccer or basketball problem, but maybe it is.
Our apologies.
Also, this message says, I was a baseball umpire in high school at KAA. Have we determined that's Kirkwood?
We think so.
At KAA. I ejected Frank Cusimano after he cussed at me because of balls and strikes in a 10-under league.
There's no way.
If Frank Cusimano's swearing at umpires at 10-under umpires, we're getting confirmation that might be true. So we don't know.
No, we don't, but
we're getting speculation that might be true.
Come on.
We're speculating that it might be true.
What if other people are reading texts about us? Like, I heard Chris Ronji's obsessed with health.
Good. Let him talk.
Yeah, well.
There's no bad press. Unless you're Diddy. Then there's a lot of bad press.
Oh, my gosh.
We got a voice message from Mike.
Tell you who the best sports parents are. That, of course, goes to the cross-country runner parents. Not sitting on your butt cheering their kids on. They're running out and about the course, making pasta dinners, and really hardly even any referee to argue with.
Well, no, that's it.
That's perfect.
That's why, because there's no official, really.
It's really, yeah, it's just a foot race. It's a good old simple foot race. It doesn't get simpler than cross country. And the parents, as the caller mentioned, are probably too out of breath themselves trying to keep up and find their kids at all the watch points. I agree. Cross country parents are legit awesome.
This message says it's baseball, hands down.
Yeah.
The odds of your child undergoing Tommy John surgery getting into the MLB is bleak. So save your $6,000 on Select League and take them on a fancy vacation. Sit down, man. Have a CYC beer. Do they sell beer at CYC?
Dude.
Do they?
Yeah.
Really?
I think, yeah, it's Catholics. Catholics love to drink. I mean, in general.
What a sweeping generalization.
No, if you are Catholic, and you know my whole family is extended, my extended family is all Catholic. No, because
I have friends who are Catholic.
No, here's how I know, because as growing up Presbyterian, look at this. We would have, and John Hancock can attest to this, we would go to like a Presbyterian like charity. These auctions were dry. You know, you can't get a lot of money out of people if they're not drinking.
There's no
Presbyterian auctions were dry, and I'm telling you, it's not a thing. When we would go to a Catholic auction, they have like Sister Mary Margarita and Sister Mary Martini. Like, they have those because it's more fun. The Catholics do know how to have more fun than the Presbyterians.
Here's what I'm asking. These are youth sporting events.
Yeah.
And they sell beer?
I think so. Even if they don't sell beer,
someone's bringing a cooler.
Maybe. I don't want to indemnify
If you
anyone.
Know what a CYC beer is, and if this is a thing, a prominent thing, let us know at 314-436-7900. That's great. Okay. We have a submission for dance team.
Oh, I can see that.
Dance team parents apparently are bad. Also, cheerleading parents.
Yeah. Here's what I would think about dance team parents. Like, a CYC game, a brawl breaks out, a couple of dads punch each other, throw some vulgarities. The dance team, I bet they go after, like, your exes and then, like, your deepest insecurities.
You think it's psychological?
It's
like psychological warfare?
It's a psyop warfare for sure in dance and cheerleading.
Voice message from Bob.
No alcohol at CYC events. Per the Archdiocese, this was put in place some years ago.
Then it's
so you know what that means? Someone's bringing a flask.
Brian Texan, what Amy says about beer and CYC is true. Exclamation point.
Oh, well, okay. So then that means
I just didn't know if it was legal or not.
Parents are sneaking beer in. They're sneaking in whiskey and they're probably getting the flasks, or they have those backpacks with the straw. That goes back into the backpack.
The
there's a bladder
and
in the
there's
straw.
Yetis too.
In the backpack, yeah.
So maybe you can't sell it, but it's there. I've had one.
You've had a CYC beer?
Really, it was tequila, but
okay.
I had CYC
so was,
tequila.
Then it was snuck onto the property. Okay. When we come back, it's an ongoing thing of artificial intelligence, and we're trying to stay on top of it, as I'm sure you are as well. Expert and founder of Topolo Media and an AI expert. It is Boone Chu, and he joins us next on KMOX.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Amy Marks Corps' Chris Ranji on 104.1 FM KMOX. And last week, the CEO at Anthropic, which is a tech company and into artificial intelligence, he sort of made everybody a little more nervous than they probably already were when he said that up to 50% of white collar jobs could be lower level, entry level white collar jobs could be completely eliminated, and it could happen within the next year to 5 years. There was also a report that when there was an attempt to change an existing AI model, that the model threatened an engineer and threatened to reveal his affair.
Blackmailed him,
which is just totally twisted. To discuss this with us in the future of artificial intelligence, we have an AI expert and founder of Topalo Media, which is an app development company. Boone Chu is with us on KMOX. Good to talk to you. How are you, Boone?
Good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, so how nervous should we be about that, about what the Anthropic CEO said in terms of job loss?
I don't think we need to be very nervous. I think the right sort of approach to this would be to sort of look at it from an open arm, because if you don't use the nervous energy to deal with this, then you're more open-minded to experiment what's possible. I think the important thing is to really try that out and use it and understand the sort of shortcoming and the positive side of things to be able to evaluate the tool or the technology, right? But I think there's really no need to be nervous, because whether you're nervous or not, it's going to happen.
Well, I guess that's the issue, is that it's bound to happen. So when you say it's going to happen, what is it? What is it exactly?
When I say it's going to happen, here's the thing, right? No one can obviously pinpoint 100% how things are going to change and to what extent and at what sort of speed, because the speed part is exponential, and it's very hard for a human to really understand what exponential speed actually means. But when I say it's going to happen, I mean that the nature of the things that you do right now is going to change. You really want to think of AI as not just a tool, but as almost like a digital species, if you will. So it's almost like you have, all the people that are there helping you right now in your radio show, you literally can use this digital species to help you run part of it, if not all of it. So the nature of what you do now will change. The way you do internally, how you prepare content, ideas, you know, topics to discuss, those things can be helped with it by AI. But even the format of how you deliver your content to your audience can change as well, meaning that, you know, at some point you might be able to clone a version of yourself that act and behave like you to help you deliver the content or the radio show. What does that mean? That means that potentially your radio show can now be not time bound, meaning that you can probably have a 24/7 radio show that happen, but you're able to scale that because you have AI to do that for you. So again, use it with open arm, because that's going to change the way you deliver what you're delivering today as well.
All right. I need to buy my cabin in the woods now.
I guess. So why? it's interesting. Boone, it's interesting technology, but why is that good?
It's good because I think a lot of times, if you think about, and I'm not saying this for every single job out there, but I would say that at the end of the day, if you think about life in general, you really want to, you know, like the way I think about it is about raising consciousness and awareness, right? Like, this is how you live a fulfilled life, is that you're able to spend time to really raise things and not just focus, not just, you know, spend a majority of your time doing things to, you know, sort of get money to do other things that you want to do. So with AI, you're able to accelerate that. So if you're able to use AI correctly, that means you're able to reach, you're able to capture value and deliver value quicker and faster and at a larger scale. So what does that mean? That means you're freed up and you have now more time to spend with your family, to work on yourself, to work on your fitness, your health, and all of that. So it's good in that sense, meaning that if you're able to leverage AI in the correct manner, not only are you able to invent new ways of delivering value, you're able to free yourself up to do things that is good for you from, you know, from spiritually and from financial standpoint.
But you'd have to be able to monetize it. Otherwise, it's doing your job and you don't get the money. So you have to make sure that you are still getting, somehow bringing in income.
Yes. So if you think about it right now, I mean, part of your cost of running the operations, like your radio show, requires a human, which is expensive. But when you use AI, the cost is cheap, right? I mean, we know that replicating software is very cheap. Now we're talking about replicating human, right? Human intelligence. So being able to replicate intelligence at a really low cost means that you're able to achieve much higher financial gains because the cost of replicating that's much easier. Right now, if you have to leave your job today for whatever family reason and you have to hire someone to replace you, it's very, very difficult to find someone like you to replace you. But if you're able to use AI to do that, then you can scale yourself up without having to spend a ton of money for that. So that means that you're going to start seeing trends of people, one or two, like small operation that can do a ton, like really, really big scale things, right? So having billion-dollar company that is founded by one or two people will be a reality. People probably even like 6, 10, 8-year-old, like kid being able to like create huge enterprise. It's going to come up like this kind of stuff that we have never seen before. It's going to happen.
So that, I mean, that's great and all. And it sounds like, oh, cool. I can go on vacation, but I could still be in two places at once. That's great for me.
Yeah.
But what prevents the company from saying, well, if we could just duplicate you, then why do we need you? Or if you have one of these entry level jobs that AI can handle without a human, then what about those people? Because they can't monetize that. So what happens if those jobs are just completely gone and it is up to 50% of all white collar entry level jobs that are completely eliminated? That's a big problem.
Yeah, it is. So if you use mobile app phone as an analogy, we have a lot of jobs that got created when phone, smartphone came into existence, right? So you have iOS developer, Android developer. So you have a new category of sort of new jobs that got created because of, the mobile phone, revolution. When it comes to AI, it's even more so because now you have actually a technology that's not just a medium to carry information or transfer information. It's not just AI is not just a distribution mechanism. It's actually sort of a replica of human intelligence, if you will. So with that, what that means is that some people who get replaced, they might find themselves, like, it might be very difficult for them to upskill themselves. But if they are able to leverage AI correctly, I think this is the way I see it, because I was recently talking to someone who helped inmates transition back into the real world. And I told him, I said that this is the best time to become a prisoner, because there's no better way to transition back in the real world than ever before, because you have AI to help them do that. Right now, they're using human to help them transition. So I think, again, you really want to see AI not as a tool, but almost as a digital version of human intelligence, if you will. So that means that you are able to really mobilize that sort of quote-unquote digital workforce to your advantage, right? And then new jobs and new opportunities will come up. So the people who are the most adaptable will be the ones that can survive this. So that means right now, before this whole wave comes about, we need to start building up our adaptability and our resilience towards change. We have to welcome them. Fear and nervousness is not the right way to counter this. Being open, really being open to this and really being able to learn how to learn fast and be adaptable is the way to go.
I know we could have this specific conversation for a long time, but I do want to move to something a bit more pernicious. And I will read from an op-ed that was in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago. And here's how it opens. An artificial intelligence model did something last month that no machine was ever supposed to do. It rewrote its own code to avoid being shut down. And it goes on to describe OpenAI's, I think it's O3 AI model. And in 79 out of 100 trials, that model independently edited the script so that the shutdown command wouldn't work. Can you maybe explain exactly what happened and if we should be worried that happened?
Yeah, I mean, again, just with anything, right, that we have really created something that is getting closer and closer to human intelligence. So the behavior you see here is something that can be done by a human. And so, you know, I've worked in the software industry where we have software that got stolen by an employee that, and then they sold the software to the competitor, for example. So this sort of rogue behavior, if it can happen in the human world, it can happen in the AI world as well. That's why I keep reminding people that we don't see them as a tool. We see them as almost like a replica of human intelligence. So yes, we have to put guardrails around that, because at the end of the day, right now we still have the power to do that. Later on, if the guardrail is not there, yes, some of these incorrect behavior will surface and happen more and more again. But hopefully when these things happen, it gives us a higher level of awareness to put the guardrail around it. But to your point, there are bad actors out there using AI as well, and they want this kind of stuff to happen, right? So again, you know, I don't really equate AI with, say, atomic bomb. It's not the same. AI can create a lot of good for humanity. But again, you have good actor and bad actor using AI on a day-to-day basis, and you're going to see, even without the things that you mentioned, you're going to see a lot of bad actors using AI to do all kinds of things that you don't want to happen. So we need to have regulations to control that kind of behavior.
Yeah, so this is, you're touching on the thing that is maybe the most important aspect of this, is that it does need guardrails. Should we trust the people who are in charge of all of this, who are implementing the technology, developing it, working on it? Should we trust them to put up the guardrails themselves? Because it seems to me that a lot of people working on artificial intelligence just want to see how far they can push it. They're not really all that concerned with reeling it in to make sure it doesn't get out of control.
Yeah, there are two sort of aspects that I can think of with regard to this question. One is, it comes down to sort of the awareness level or consciousness level of human being, right? If we are low conscious, you know, human being, we're going to start doing a lot of things for other gains, and that causes us to self-destruct. So in a way, it's like, you know, if we don't really raise our awareness as we have things that can free us up, then we are kind of like, you know, creating our own demise. So the rise or the increase of awareness is very important as a society, as a sort of human species. So that's one aspect. But I think at the end of the day, you obviously cannot trust that, right? Because everyone is doing it with certain sort of mindset, certain sort of motive in mind. So that's why you see a lot of people dumping, like, you know, chemicals, water into the ocean. You know, we have got risk for that, but that still happened. Why? Because the motive is not in protecting the environment. So that kind of stuff happens at that level. Same thing is going to happen here. So we need to have, again, really strict law against bad behavior in order to really prevent these kind of, it will still happen and people will get caught and they will get punished, and hopefully that will lower things. But at the end of the day, none of these things is going to become a zero occurrence type of issue until the awareness issue of the human species really raises to a certain level. Either we get there or we destroy ourselves.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem.
Yeah, and that's why I've heard so much to your point about the guardrails. The term I've read a lot is alignment, AI alignment, that the values of AI are aligned with human values. But I guess it depends on who those humans are.
And what their values are.
And what their values are, yeah.
Yeah, even value within the society is different, because we're such a, you know, sort of melting pot. Like, everyone has different value. Even within the same family, everyone has different value as well. So really focusing just on that is not enough to sort of mitigate or control the behavior. I think, again, awareness comes into play. But really counting on awareness to reach a certain level at a human scale is very difficult. So we have to rely on regulations and, you know, tough, strict, control to make sure that these things don't happen. So people hopefully will think about their reputations and, you know, other losses that they can incur in order for them to sort of, you know, do things like more correctly. But like I said, even if the companies that provide all these things don't do it, there are bad actors that are using the technology that would want those bad things to happen as well. So it's, again, this is the way we live, like the world we live in, is that you're not going to ever get to a point where you have zero disease or to me, this is sort of like disease as well. You're always going to have bad things. Hopefully, the bad things is always less than a good thing, and also the bad things can always be controlled.
Founder of Topalo Media and AI expert Boon Chu with us. This is a really interesting conversation, and we appreciate you having it with us today. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so it's still, and he's right. I mean, we have to direct our energy, our nervous energy, into doing something to make sure it doesn't go off the rails. But my nervous energy is in, it's all tied up in the fact that I just don't trust I don't trust our government to hold it at bay, to act quickly enough to hold it at bay. And I don't trust the people who are working on it, because their incentive is in how far they can push it, because there's money in it.
I think they're insane geniuses. Like, no offense to Sam Altman, but I think he sees humanity as a giant experiment.
Yes,
like, what
yes,
can we
I don't
do?
Need people.
I don't trust Sam. No, I don't.
It's Amy Markscores and Chris Ranji, and we're all going to die. Nah, we'll be all right. Oh. It's the award-winning Chris and Amy show.
Oh, my gosh.
We have, according to this plaque, the best opinion.
We have the best opinion. Hold on. I like to think.
Yeah, it says best opinion on it.
I like to think that the awards people were listening, and then, like, I started a sentence. Well, here's what I think.
Yeah.
And they were just blown away.
Blown away.
They're like, that's the best opinion I've ever heard.
It probably wasn't yours. I think it was mine.
Well, technically, we don't know. Michael Calhoun accepted the award on our behalf at the
Missouri Broadcasters Association.
Yeah. And he said it was my voice playing when he picked up the plaque.
Well, that's bull.
Whoa, careful.
That's an opinion. That's BS.
Barbie Safari, bologna sandwich.
Yeah. What? Yes.
Anyway.
And so since we're here talking about how great we are, because we're pretty great.
Okay. You are, unfortunately, we're not that fun. You're still 2 hours away from fun.
Oh, yeah. The fun doesn't start until 1 o'clock.
The promo that our boss approved.
Yeah.
Now the news. At one, the fun. Okay. Well,
what are these guys?
What are we?
Couple of jokes.
I don't think anybody knows we work here, here's
what you could do for us. The STL Mag, St. Louis Magazine, the A-List, voting is happening right now, and under Talk News Show or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Arts and Entertainment? It's under the Arts and Entertainment, and it's like Talk News Show.
Yeah.
We're up for that, so you have to go vote for us.
And we have it pinned to the top of our Twitter profile.
At Chris Amy KMOX.
Mm-hmm. So there's the link right there. Please vote for us. We're going up against the Glover Show, and honestly, they get enough praise already.
If you care about us.
Yeah, at all.
At all. I think you'll vote for us, and here's why.
Okay.
Because once a week, we go into our boss's office, and he berates us for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is a long time to be berated.
Ranj, how often do I cry?
Every time.
Every time.
You are such a big baby.
Well,
and then every time you cry, then I think it feeds him. I think he loves it. I think he gets drunk off your tears.
Well, listen.
And so then
we're trying our best.
Right. So if we win this, he'll stop berating us. So you got to go vote for us. STL Mag, A-List. And maybe the easiest way is go to at Chris Amy KMOX. And it's pinned right there.
And keep listening, because we're giving away tickets in the next hour. Johnson tickets.
Johnson.
If you like Cody Johnson and you know it's good for you, you'll keep listening.
Speaking of magazines, the new edition of Cardinals Magazine is out, the new issue, and Elizabeth Meineke is the senior editor of Cardinals Magazine, joins us next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.